Amen. So before I begin, I just want to thank Pastor Jimenez for the opportunity, of course, to preach here and to also serve in this church. And we should appreciate the leader that we have in this church. So a big thank you to Pastor for all he does for us, if you would. And so we're there in Mark 12. And in Mark 12, if you look at verse number 41, Mark 12, 41. Again, the Bible says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury. It says, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. This is verse 42. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And tonight, I want to preach on this very famous subject, or this very famous story of the widow's mites. And here we see this poor widow coming, and it says that she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Look at verse number 43. It says, and he, this of course is Jesus, called unto him his disciples. And of course, Jesus, being Jesus, he takes this moment to teach his disciples a lesson. It says, and he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. It says, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had. It says, even all her living. And tonight I want to preach on some lessons that you and I can take away from this poor widow, from the story of this woman and her two mites. And the fact is that she's throwing in her offering. You know, this Sunday is our vision offering. And you say, oh, you're preaching another offering sermon. Well, you know, you can't read the Bible without reading about offerings throughout the Bible. Right. You know, if preaching on offerings bother people, then just throughout Genesis, throughout Exodus, throughout Leviticus, well, in fact, throughout the whole Bible, because the Bible says Jesus Christ, he made himself an offering and a sacrifice unto God for us as a sweet-smelling savor. So you can't read the Bible without reading on offerings. And tonight there's some lessons that I want to show you on offering that we can learn as we prepare for this Sunday's vision offering. You're there in Mark 12. Keep your place in Mark 12. That, of course, is our text for tonight. But go quickly to Luke 21, Luke chapter 21. And in Luke 21, we have the parallel passage, the parallel story of the poor widow's mites. Luke 21, look at verse number 1. It says, notice, and he, this of course, again, is Jesus. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts. It says, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Verse 3, and he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in, notice, unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. So here we see again, the Bible says that she's casting into what? Into the offerings of God. Go to Malachi 3, if you would, Malachi 3. He placed there in Luke, but go to Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3. You have to realize that God expects us to give an offering. God expects us to bring an offering unto him. You know, in the Old Testament, when people would go to the Lord, God commanded people to visit him three times in a year. And they were to what? To bring an offering. To bring something unto God. And you and I, God expects us to give an offering unto him. Malachi 3, last book of the Old Testament, right before the book of Matthew. Malachi 3, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, it says, will a man rob God? And the idea is when you're robbing someone is you're taking something that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to somebody else. And here the question is asked, will a man rob God? And he says, yet ye have robbed me. It says, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? They're asking the question, God, how did we rob from you, God? How do we take something from you? And it says here, notice, it says in tithes, notice, and offerings. See, there is a difference with tithes and offerings. See, your tithe is something that you owe God. Your tithe is the tenth of your increase. And so, yes, when you don't tithe of your increase, you are robbing God, the Bible says. But it says here, when you don't tithe, but it says, notice, in tithes, notice, and offerings. So your offering, an offering is of your own will. It is a free will. It is something that God expects us to do. He doesn't expect us just to tithe, but no, he says, you rob me, what? In tithes and in offerings. See, God expects us as Christians, not just to tithe, yes, to tithe, but also to give him an offering. And an offering is of your own free will. If you're of a willing heart, then you should bring an offering. But here we see that God expects it. In verse 9, it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, it says, even this whole nation. You say, well, this is the Old Testament. Well, in verse 6, it says, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, and forever. You know, God wants us to bring us not just the tithe, but also the offering. You know, and this is what the Bible teaches. Go back to Mark 12, if you go to Mark chapter 12. And so tonight, I want to give you some lessons that we can learn from this poor widow. From the widow's mites. And so, number one, I want you to notice the significance of the mites. You're in Mark 12. I want you to notice, first off, the significance of the mites. Mark 12, look at verse number 41. The Bible says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury. It says, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. It says, and many that were rich cast in much. And notice, it says, and there came a certain poor widow. Notice, and she threw in, notice, two mites. You know, I can't explain to you what a mite is, but a mite is a very small piece of money. It says, and she threw in two mites, notice, which make a farthing. You know, a farthing is something that has very little value. You know, this woman being poor, what she gave was really not that much. It was two little mites. And it's almost insignificant, the amount of value, the amount of money that this woman gave. But notice what it says in verse 43. And he, Jesus, called unto his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow, notice, hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. See, Jesus said, when you look at this poor widow, here we have Jesus seeing rich men, many people coming, casting in much money, money after money after money, and you don't know how much they're giving, but they're giving a lot of money. It says that they're rich men, and they're casting much into the treasury. And here we have a poor little widow, and she casts in what? She casts in two mites, which is a value of insignificance, which is a value of nothing. But Jesus said, hey, this poor widow, this woman, she hath cast more in than they all. In verse 44, it says, why? For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. See, Jesus saw these rich men who are casting in much, who are throwing in a lot of money, but he's saying, you know, these rich men who are throwing in a lot of money, they're throwing that in of their abundance. They're throwing that in of what they're extra. But this poor widow, it says that she of her lack, meaning she couldn't afford to give. It says she of her lack, of her want, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You see, what's the significance of the mites? Realize that these two mites, they mean nothing to these rich men, because it's meaningless, it's of no value. But this poor widow who had no money, who had nothing, these mites were all that she had. You know, these mites were of extreme importance to this poor widow. Why? Because that's all that she had. You see, was it important to her? Of course it was. This is all her living. And you think about this description of this woman. You know, the Bible says that this woman, it says she was poor. You know, it says of her penury did she give. You know, the word penury means extreme poverty. You know, here in America, you know, when you think poor, that is not what the Bible is talking about. You know, you have to think third world extreme poverty to think of poor. You know, people who claim to be poor in America, they're not poor, they're just broke from their bad decisions that they make in life. When this is poverty, when this is penury, no, this is third world extreme poverty. This woman had nothing. All she had were two little mites. And while most of you will say, well, that's insignificant to this woman, this is all that she had. To this woman, hey, this was everything. You see, how do you get to the place where you have no money, where you have absolutely nothing, but yet you're willing to give it all to God? You know, how do you get there? What it says here, it says that she was poor. And you got to realize that, you know, money has a way of blinding people. And, you know, something that'll give you a good wake-up call is just going to see how these people in third world countries live who have no money, who are actually poor. You know, that'll give you a little perspective on what really matters in life. Amen. Not just that, but it says, notice, she's a poor widow. You know, this woman who, I don't know, I'm assuming she's an older woman, but it says she's a widow. She lost her husband. You know, and when you lose your family, when you lose your spouse, when you have no money, you know, that kind of put things about life into perspective. You know, you young people, you know, you come to church and you hear a pastor, you hear somebody older tell you that say, hey, don't pursue money. Money doesn't matter. Don't pursue riches. Don't pursue wealth. And, you know, young people, they think, well, yeah, well, you know, that's fine for you because you're older. But, you know, one day life will catch up to you. One day you will realize, maybe when you're poor or maybe when you've lost everything, what really matters in life. Amen. And if you were to ask this poor widow, hey, what matters in life? You think she would have said, well, of course, my mites. You know, my two little mites, which make a farthing. You know, money is what's important in life. No, she would have said, you know what? God is important. Amen. The house of God. And all that she had, all the possession, while you think it's nothing, she gave it all unto God. You say, why? Because what's the significance? The significance is that this is all that she had. And when you can get to the place to give everything unto God, that puts your life into where it needs to be. And realize that everything you have, the possessions, the wealth, it should be all for God. Why? Because he gave it to you anyway. See, what's the significance? Well, you should value what you are giving unto God. See, what you give to God should mean something to you. You know, this poor widow, while you would look at her and say, these mites mean nothing, but to her, guess what? They're probably everything. I mean, it's all, it says here, it says, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This was all that she had. And so I'm sure it mattered to her, but you know what? She gave it unto God. Go back to Malachi 1, if you would, Malachi chapter 1. Malachi 1. Malachi chapter 1. You say, why preach this? Well, you know, this Sunday we are taking an offering, a vision offering. And, you know, it's only once in a year. And when you read the Bible, you read about offering after offering, book after book, it talks about offering. And obviously offerings are important unto God, so they should be important unto us. But when you give, you know, when you give, you know, what you give should mean something to you. You know, you shouldn't show up to the vision offering, you know, waking up, oh, yeah, it's the vision offering, you know, what should I do? Now, you should go into it having thought about it, having prepared about it. Why? Because it's important. Why? Because it's serious. Malachi 1, look at verse number 7. It says here in verse 7, it says, notice, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. Here we have God rebuking his people, but notice, they're offering something unto God. They're bringing their offering. It says, ye offer, but it's polluted bread upon mine altar. And notice, and ye say, notice, wherein have we polluted thee? You know, people think, well, I gave something unto God, you know, God must be pleased. And notice it says, wherein have we polluted thee? Notice, and that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. The word contemptible means despised or disdained. So I want you to notice, these people, they were offering, but what they were offering was just polluted bread. Verse number 8, it says, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor, will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? You know, when you look at these offerings, you know, God is saying, hey, if you were to offer someone just a blind lamb, you know, you think that's going to be acceptable? You think that's your best? Hey, you could have this blind lamb, which means nothing. It says, or if you offer, notice, the lame and sick, I'm going to give you something, but I'll give you the worst that I can give you. And he says, hey, give it unto your governor. Give it unto someone else. Hey, will they be pleased with that? Will they accept that, saith the Lord? You know, when you look at these people who are offering something, do you think they're taking the time to think about what they are giving unto God? You see, when people come to church, you know, they think, well, I'm giving God my time when I come to church. But then they come to church and they don't pay attention. And what do? They offer God what? Polluted bread. Right. And we think, well, wherein have I despised the house of God? You know, I was there. Yeah, but you're not really there. Right. You're not really listening. You don't apply. You don't pay attention. You're messing around. And you say, well, how am I polluting God? Well, the way you're acting. You're showing that what you're offering God is not really your best. You're just offering polluted bread. And so we got to realize that just because we offer something, we got to take time to think about, to evaluate what is it that we are really offering. See, we shouldn't go into an offering like this Sunday's vision offering, not having prayed about it. You see, why isn't the bulletin for week after week that says, hey, pray for the upcoming vision offering? Why? Because you should take it serious. Why? Because it's important. Why? Because God doesn't want you just to offer polluted bread, which you don't care about. But you know, when you value something, see, this woman gave everything to the house of God because it was important unto her, because it mattered, because the things of God actually mattered to her. That's how we should be. You know, the things of God are what matter. The house of God is what matters. The work of God is what matters. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, don't turn there, but the Bible says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. You know, when you purpose something, you pre-planned it. You've thought about it. You don't just wake up on a whim and say, well, I'll just give of this of my abundance. No, you take time to think about what you're going to give unto God. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, when something means something to you, you take time to think about it. You actually take time to prepare. It's important to you. You actually care about it. And you know what? Don't go to an offering not really caring about it like it's something else. No, it's important. Well, you know, because the work of God is important. Because the house of God is important. And you should value the things that you're giving. Take time to think about the offering that you're giving. See why? Because this poor widow, this was all that she had. All she had in life. And look, she could have given one farthing. You know, she's extremely poor. She's of her penury, of her lack. She had nothing. All her living, she had two little mites. You know, she could have kept one. You know, we would have been like, just keep one for some food or for something. But you know what? She gave it all. Because she realized, hey, you know what? This is what matters. And you know, when you get to that place, when you have nothing, when you've lost people, when you're extremely poor, you're going to realize what really matters in life. But not, you should not only value what you're giving, but you should value who you are giving to. Malachi 1, look at verse number 6. Malachi 1, 6, it says, notice, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. And notice what God says, if then I be a father, notice, where is mine honor? It says, and if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, notice, that despise my name. I want you to notice that God is saying, hey, if I'm your father, then hey, where's my honor? You know, you call me master. If I'm your master, then hey, where's my fear? You know, it says, O ye priests, notice that despise my name. And notice what it says, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? You know, are these people treating God the way that God would want them to treat him? When God is saying, hey, you call me father, but you're not really honoring me. You call me master, but you're not really fearing me. And all the while, like most Christians, you know, most of us, you know, we could ask, you know, how am I mistreating you, God? How am I despising your name? Well, it says in verse 7, it says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. You know, when you give an offering, you should not only think about what you're giving, but you should think about who you're giving to. And like when you give an offering, you know, realize that what you're giving to is the work of God. And what I love about this church is that this church has had a vision offering every year. And think about what this church has done, not just in your life, but all over the world. Amen. You know, especially if you're sitting in this room, you can't just sit there and just not think of the fact that God has blessed you through this church. Amen. Through the preaching of the house of God, through the preaching of the man of God, you know, helping you in life. You're out there going out soul winning, you're winning souls from hell. You know, what's more valuable than that in life? Amen. Is it wealth? Is it money? You know, this is what really matters. It says, he offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. See, when we give, we should realize who we are giving to. We should not have this attitude that says, oh, it's just another vision offering. Oh, it's just another offering. You know, if you had that attitude, if you have that attitude, do you think God would be pleased with that attitude? You're in Malachi 1, look at verse number 13. Malachi 1, 13, it says, ye said also, notice, behold, what a weariness is it. This is how some people feel like whenever money comes up. Oh, what a weariness is it? Oh, another vision offering sermon. Oh, another offering sermon again. Another year, another, you know, what a weariness is it? It says, notice, and ye have snuffed at it. You know, there's just another sermon on the vision offering. It says, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice, and ye brought, notice, you brought something. It says, that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Notice, should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? You know, when you don't take time to think about what you're giving, when you don't take time to think about who you're giving to and what you're giving towards, you know, it says here, it says, should I accept this of your hand? You shouldn't have this attitude that says, well, I better give something, you know, so that God can be happy. Because you know what? God doesn't need your money. You know, it is like David said, give unto the Lord. You know, we are blessed to give back unto God what he's given unto us. Go to Deuteronomy, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16. See, when you give, you should think about what you're giving. You should value what you give should have meaning to you. And if it has meaning to you, then guess what? You're not just going to think about it on Sunday morning. You'll pray about it. You'll think about it. It'll be important to you. You know, when you give, you should think about who you're giving to and what you're giving towards. And when you give, you should not judge the value of what you give based on other people. Because this is what, you know, in the flesh, this is what we do. You know, we, because we're humans, we base the value of what we give based on the people around us. You know, in this story, here we have Jesus seeing many, many rich people casting in much money, throwing in a lot of money. And here we have this poor widow who throws in, honestly, nothing. Just two little mites, which mean nothing. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus said, you know what, look at her. You know, that is acceptable unto me. Because of what she gave, because of what it means. But look, when you give, you should not judge the value of what you give based on other people. You think this poor widow was thinking to herself, like, man, like, I need to step up my game here? No, she gave what she could. You know, these rich men, you know what they were probably thinking? I'm assuming, I don't know, but I'm assuming they're thinking, man, look at all this money that I'm giving. You know, I'm so much better than this poor widow who's giving nothing. But you know, when we give, we should not judge what we give based on other people. Deuteronomy 16, look at verse number 16. It says, notice, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, notice, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, notice, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. God said, when you come, I don't want you to come empty. It says in verse 17, notice, every man shall give, notice these words, as he is able. Let's say, hey, give as much as the richest guy you know. No, it says you give as much as you're able to give. It says every man shall give as he is able. Notice, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath, notice, given thee. Because the truth is, you know, God has blessed us in different ways. You know, some people, he's blessed you financially. Some of you, all you have is two little mites, you know. But if that's all you have, that's all you can give, then you know what? Then God knows that. God knows what you have. God knows what you give. And don't go into an offering, you know, feeling bad because all you have is two mites. Look, if that's all you have, hey, God knows that, and God is happy with that. And, but don't go into a vision offering saying, look how much I'm giving. I'm so much better than so-and-so or sister so-and-so because of what I'm giving. Like, that's not right. You know, if God has blessed you, then praise the Lord and give what you can. It says, every man shall give, notice, as he is able. So don't go into an offering judging what you give based on anyone else. Because at the end of the day, it's only between you and God. At the end of the day, God's one has blessed you, and God knows what you have, and God knows what you can give. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, don't turn there, but the Bible says, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. See, God knows what you have, and God knows what you don't have. And God knows what you can do, and God knows what you can't do. So don't judge, don't value what you give based on anyone else. Go to Luke 21, if you would. Back to Luke 21. Luke 21. So number one, see the significance of the mites. While the mites mean nothing to most people, to this woman, to this poor widow, these mites were her everything. It's all that she had. But she was willing to give it to God. Not only do we see the significance of the mites, but we see the sacrifice of the widow. We see the sacrifice of the widow. In Luke 21, look at verse number 1 again. It says, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Now, notice the words that Jesus said. He told his disciples, hey, that this poor widow, notice, she hath cast in, notice, more, notice, than they all. Jesus said, hey, if you look at all the money these rich people are giving, if you add it all up, who knows how much that would be? But you say, you know, this poor widow who cast in those little mites, which are value of almost nothing, you know what? It says she gave the most. It says she hath cast in more than all this money, all this wealth put together. And you know what? That ought to show you that Jesus doesn't care about money. The fact that he looked at this poor widow and that what she gave, which is meaningless, that's worth more to me than all this money. Verse number 4 in Luke 20, 4, it says, notice what it says. It says, for all these, notice, have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Again, a penury is extreme poverty. And this is all that she had. See, Jesus saw this woman, and what he saw in her was sacrifice. The fact that this woman, she was willing to sacrifice a loss. And it actually cost her something. You know, when you sacrifice, it actually costs you something. And this is what most people don't want to do. Because here it says that the majority of people, seeing person after person coming, throwing in a bunch of money, but guess what? It costs them nothing. Why? Because it's of their abundance. And this is how most Christians live their life. They're willing to serve God, live for God, give an offering unto God to the point where it actually costs them something. Keep place there in Luke 21. Go to 2 Samuel 24, if you would. 2 Samuel 24. So we see the sacrifice of the poor widow. What's the sacrifice? The fact that she had nothing, but yet, you know, what little she had, she gave it unto God. While the majority of people, many men, many rich men, throwing in a bunch of money, but you know what? It cost them nothing. It was of their abundance. And this is how we think. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we think, well, a vision offering, well, how much can I give to an offering unto God to the point where it actually hurts me? Well, I can afford to give this much. Of my abundance, I could give this much. But you know what? When you sacrifice, guess what? It actually costs you something. 2 Samuel 24. And in 2 Samuel 24, here we have David trying to make an atonement for his people and to God. And he goes to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. 2 Samuel 24, look at verse number 21. The Bible says, and Araunah said in verse 21, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee. Notice, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Here we have David going to Araunah saying, hey, I want to make an offering unto God that is pleasing unto him so that the plague can be stayed. Verse 22, and Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments for the oxen of the oxen for wood. And I want you to notice that David, he goes to Araunah, he says, hey, I need to make a sacrifice. I need to make an offering unto God that's pleasing to stop the plague. And here we have Araunah saying, hey, you know what? You could have the ox. You could have the wood. You could have everything you want so that God could be pleased with you. And look, this is how most Christians live their life. Most Christians, they say they want to get right, but they're only going to do it if it's easy and free. If it's easy and free, then I'll sacrifice if it's easy and free. You know, most people, they want to get right with God until it actually costs them something. Right. You know, they come to church and you hear the Bible preached and it says, hey, stay away from alcohol. And well, I got to give up my booze to get right with God. Well, I can't sacrifice all that. You know, people having marriage problems and the Bible says, hey, wives, submit to your husband. Well, I have to submit. Well, I don't want to do that. I can't sacrifice. I'm willing to live right and be right as long as it's easy and free. But until you ask me to sacrifice, then we have problems. Verse number 23. All these things, notice, did Araunah as a king give unto the king? And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. But notice the response from somebody who is a man after God's own heart. You know, we often say that David, a man after God's own heart. I want to be like David, a man after God's own heart. Well, what does that mean? It says in verse 24, and the king said unto Araunah, he said, nay. He said, I don't want it. I don't want your free. I don't want to sacrifice unto God something that's free. He says, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. See, David said, if I'm going to offer something to God, guess what? It's going to cost me. You see, what does it mean to be a man after God's own heart? Here we have David, who could have done it all for free. But David said, no, that's not right. If I'm going to give unto God, guess what? It's going to cost me something. It's going to hurt me something. It's not right that it doesn't cost me anything. And we have these men throwing in a bunch of money. And in their minds, they're probably thinking, man, look how pleased God is with me. But God says, you know what? That you're not really sacrificing anything. That's just of your abundance. And this is how most Christians are. We're willing to obey. We're willing to serve. We're willing to get right with God until it actually costs you something. You know, we can't ask you to sacrifice. You know, but when we give, what we should do is we should be willing to sacrifice. And we have David saying, nay, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither, he says, I'm not going to do it. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto Lord my God of that which did cost me nothing. It says, notice, so David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. But we live in a day when people don't want to sacrifice. Go through to 2 Corinthians 8. See, when we give, we should be willing to sacrifice. We see the sacrifice of the poor widow, the fact that she was willing to sacrifice everything to God. And when you and I give, we ought to be willing to sacrifice. But look, we live in a day when honestly people don't want to sacrifice. You know, people come to church. Honestly, why did I come to church? Because my life wasn't going my way. Like, things were rough in my life. You know, praise the Lord that it brought me to church. You know, why did some of you come to church? Because guess what? Your lives had to be ruined a little bit, you know, for God to get you to the place where you need to be in the church. Amen. This is why we're here. You know, and people come to church. People try it out. You know, they come Sunday morning. Yeah, I want to get my life right. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to be there. And they're here for a season. And guess what? It gets a little difficult. It gets a little hard. And they decide to quit. If only if it was easy and free, you know. But that's not how it works. But when you and I give, we ought to be willing to sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 8, and we saw these verses on Sunday morning, but we're going to look at them again. 2 Corinthians 8, in verse number 1, it says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, notice, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. It says here, how that in a great trial of affliction, notice, the abundance of their joy, notice, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I want you to notice, it's interesting, but this church in Macedonia, it says that they were in deep poverty. You know, they were probably like this poor widow who had nothing, who were in extreme poverty, But notice it says that abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The word liberality means that they were generous. See, somehow when you have nothing, it kind of puts life into perspective. Because somehow riches and wealth, it kind of blinds your judgment. It says that here these people abounded into the riches of the liberality. It says in verse 3, it says, for to their power I bear record, notice, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. I want you to notice that these people not only gave to their power, as we heard, but it says they gave beyond their power. Meaning what? Meaning they got to the place where it actually cost them something to give. But I want you to notice, while these people were in deep poverty, you know what they did have in verse number 1? It says that they had the grace of God bestowed upon them. You know, what's a God that we can have the grace of God bestowed upon our lives? You know, these people who didn't have any money, but yet they had the grace of God bestowed upon them, yet they had the abundance of their joy. These people were happy. They were joyous. Why? Because they were able not only to give to their power, but beyond their power. They were willing to sacrifice. Verse number 4 says, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. See, when you give, you should give with sacrifice. And here we have in the story, many rich men casting in much money. And this is how you and I think. You and I think, man, if I could just hit the lotto, then I'd give the church $1 million. You know, don't we all think like that? If God would just bless, if he just gave me all this money, you know, the church doesn't know what's coming. You know, a new carpet. But this is how we think. And we think like that. Why? Because you know what? We're willing to give when it's of our abundance, when it costs you nothing. But you know what God wants? God wants sacrifice. God wants you to sacrifice. You say, I don't have anything, but you can sacrifice. All of us can sacrifice. See, when we give, we should be willing to sacrifice. But we live in a day when people don't want to sacrifice. Go back to Mark 12, if you want to, Mark chapter 12. Mark 12. So number 1, we see the significance of the mites. These mites, to you, they mean nothing. To this woman, it was everything to her. That's all she had. We see the sacrifice of the widow who, yeah, she had nothing. Guess what? Now she really has nothing. She's willing to sacrifice, go beyond her power, and give what she could. But number 3, not only do we see the significance of the mites, not only do we see the sacrifice of the widow, but lastly, we see the seat of the Savior. In Luke 21, I find it interesting, in Mark 12, I find it interesting in Mark 12, but notice what it says in verse number 41, it says, notice, and Jesus sat over against the treasury. I find it interesting, here we have people going to the house of God, giving their offerings unto God, throwing their money into the treasury, trying to please God. All the while, here we have God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ just sitting right there, just watching them. And he says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, notice, and beheld. He's just watching how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And you know, you and I, what we think, when we give, a lot of money, of our abundance, you know what we think? We think, man, God must be impressed with us. Man, God must be happy because I gave X amount of dollars. But is that really what God's focused on? You know, did Jesus say, hey, guys, look at the amount of money over there that they're giving? Is that what caught his attention? Well, in verse 43, notice what it says, and he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, notice that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. He's saying, what's God looking at? You know, when Jesus saw this event happening, did he say, man, look at that money. He said, no, look at that poor widow. And you know, when you give, you say, what's God looking at? Is God looking at the amount that you give? No, God is looking at you. Amen. And God is looking at your heart. And God is focused on you and who you are and what you're doing and why you're giving and why you're doing what you're doing and your walk with him. But you and I, what we think, well, man, I better give a good amount to make God happy. But is that really what stands out to God? See, when you give, realize that God is looking at you. God's not looking at the money. He's looking at your heart. He says, realize, say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You see, what is God focused on? Because guess what? When we give, hey, Jesus Christ is everywhere, is he not? Amen. Is he watching? He's watching. But don't get to the place where you think, man, I better give so much money so that God can be happy. No, God's looking at your heart. God's looking at you and what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing and how you're living and your walk with him. But I find it interesting here in Mark 12, we have another passage that kind of sticks out to me that we can connect to this story. In Mark 12, look at verse number 30. Mark 12, verse 30. Here we have a scribe going unto Jesus, and the scribe asked him, you know, Master, you know, what's the greatest commandment of them all? You know, he said, Jesus, you know, what's the best thing? And in verse 30, notice what the answer is. It says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. It says, this is the first commandment. You know, the scribe comes and say, Jesus, hey, what's the greatest thing? What's the best thing I can do for you, God? Or what's the best thing in the law? It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. It says, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And notice the response from this scribe. It says, and the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. It says, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, notice, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, this scribe knew, you know what, Jesus was right. That, hey, more important than the sacrifice, than the money, than what you give, more important is your love for God. Amen. That you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Look, that is more important than anything. So realize, look, that there are some things that money cannot buy. And guess what? You being pleasing to God, you can't buy that. It doesn't matter how much money you have. You writing a check doesn't make you right with God. So you say, what should I do with this vision offering coming up? Well, why don't you get right with God? We should pray that we're right with God. We should pray that we love the Lord with our heart, that we love him with our strength, with our mind. Because look, at the end of the day, God's not looking at your money. He's looking at you. And your heart, and why you give, and why you're doing what you're doing. You say, how much should I give? Well, you should prepare. How should I prepare? Prepare by getting right with the Lord. Because look, there are some things that money cannot buy. Go to 1 Samuel 15, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And so we see the seat of the Savior. He's just sitting there, just watching this hell happen. And Jesus said, hey, you see this poor widow who has nothing? But yet, you know what? She gave everything. Yet you know what? She sacrificed. Yet you know what? She probably loves me. You know, that is worth more to me than any money that there is. 1 Samuel 15, look at verse number 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, it says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, verse 22, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Again, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. It says here that to obey is what? Is better than sacrifice and offerings. You see, how should you and I prepare? Because look, we should prepare. We should take it serious. Why? Because offerings are serious unto God. Because he expects them. Because he wants them. Will a man rob God? Will you rob me in tithes and offerings? Is it about the money? Well, you know, it's about you getting right with the Lord. You should prepare yourself how? By walking with him. By being right with him. And realize it's not an amount of money that gets you right with God. It's just your life. You got to love the Lord with your strength. Why? Because look, to obey is more than whole burnt offerings. You should choose to be the Christian who does what? Who obeys the Bible, who obeys the Lord. Look, that means more. And look, and if you love the Lord, guess what? You'll give. Why? Because we're doing the work of the Lord, are we not? Amen. And you know, thank God that we have a leader who's willing to invest in our church to make more room for more people. Because you know what? There's plenty of people out there who need to get saved and start coming to church and get their lives right. It's not just us. You know, and this church, he started in a room, in a living room. And guess what? It's grown. And guess what? That's why you're here. And guess what? That's why I'm here. And guess what? There's more of you and there's more of me. There's more people out there who could benefit from this. Amen. And you know, and what to God that we don't know what could happen in the future, but guess what? It happens now. And so I pray that we all think about this Sunday and the offering that's coming up. And so in the story, we see the significance of the mites. While people thought it was nothing, guess what? This was the world to the woman. We see the sacrifice of the widow. Realize that she was willing to sacrifice all that she had. and we see the seat of the Savior. What was he focused on? Was he focused on the money? No, he was focused on the individual. So hopefully for this Sunday, you prepare yourself. Why? Because it's important. Why? Because it matters. Why? Because it actually means something. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your word and for our church, Lord. And I just pray that you be with the offering coming up on Sunday, Lord. And I just thank you for the blessings that you've given us in all our lives, in our church, Lord. And I just thank you for our pastor, God. I just pray that you protect them while he's away, Lord. And I just thank you for everyone that's here, God. I just pray that you work in their lives and just continue to bless them. And I just pray that with this expansion, Lord, that more people will come, Lord. And I just thank you for all you've done for us, God, and help us to put you first in all that we do, God. We love you. In Jesus' name pray. Amen.